Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. I'm just going to move this out of the way so that I'm not looking at you over the top of it. Is that okay? And then you can see me as well, if that's something you'd like to do. Wonderful to be here with you. And what amazing worship we started with for our amazing God. What a great way to start a service. And what a great time to start a service as well. 11 o'clock. My goodness me, how civilized you are. Here in York. Okay, great to be here on behalf of Compassion UK. Has everybody heard of Compassion already? Yeah. Anybody sponsoring a child through Compassion already? Put your hands up. Anybody sponsoring children? Thank you. Just a couple of you. For those of you who don't know, Compassion is a leading Christian child development organization, been around since 1952, working to release some of the world's poorest children from poverty in Jesus' name. Currently supporting 1.8 million children around the world, making a phenomenal difference in the world in Jesus' name. And just to say as well, because it's important for us, that Compassion is a very sound and credible organisation. In the top 1% of charities for financial integrity. So really good, really squeaky clean. The reason that I tell you that is obviously because as Christians, we're supposed to be good stewards of our money, so it's important for us, but doubly important because obviously we're in Yorkshire. And Yorkshire people, you know, we care, don't we, what happens to our money. So that's a really good thing. And all that's financed by people here sponsoring individual children in churches here and other churches around the world, really making a difference. I'll tell you a little bit more about what Compassion does and why we do what we do later on in the sermon. But I just want to take some time and to set the scene and to help people to understand why we do what we do and the difference between our lives here and the lives of people who are living in extreme poverty. So to do that, I'm going to ask you some questions, okay? Yeah, all up for answering some questions?
Yeah.
Really? Thank you, Steve. Really easy questions. You will all know the answers to all of the questions. First one. How many of you had breakfast this morning? Put your hands up. Those of you who haven't put your hands up, don't forget breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Keep your hand up if you're going to have some lunch. Yeah, some tea. Yeah, maybe a few snacks in between. We'll all have at least one meal today, won't we? Yeah. Meanwhile, 1 in 8 people in the world today are chronically hungry, struggle even to have one basic meal a day. Okay, next question. See how you fare with this one. Put your hand up if you live in a house that has more than one room. I'd say that's most of us, isn't it? Millions of people around the world living in extreme poverty live in the most basic accommodation, literally one room house made perhaps out of wood or bamboo or mud or breeze block with a dirt floor and a leaky roof. I went to somebody's house in Indonesia a few years ago, and it was made out of bamboo. There were channels in the dirt floor, so that when it leaked, when it rained, the channels would take the water out of the house. And it was about the size of my garden shed. And this family lived there, 4 of them. You know, these houses don't have luxuries like running water and toilets and all those sorts of things, because, well, they just don't. And nearly 1 billion people still don't have access to safe, clean water for drinking. And nearly 40% of people in the world today don't have access to proper sanitation. That's toilets. Incredible, isn't it? Any school-aged children here? Any school-aged children? Yes, we've got one school-aged child. Do you go to school? Does he go to school? Yeah, does he enjoy school? Yeah, are you glad to be back after the summer holidays? No, I don't. I guess that means no. Again, hundreds of millions of children around the world don't get to go to school at all, either because their parents can't afford the school fees, if they have to pay school fees, or even where education is free in some places, They can't afford to send the children to school because they can't afford the clothes, they can't afford the resources, the shoes, the bags. And many, many, many parents have to send their children out to work in order to get a little bit of income for the family. That's how life is for families around the world. Okay, personal question now. This is the last question, you'll be pleased to know. How many of us have an income of more than £7,500 a year? You don't have to put your hands up for these unless you want to. Do you know the World Bank classes that as high income? It's classed as high income in the world economy. Now, when you go home, you can check the website for the Global Rich List. If you have an income of £18,000 a year, you're in the top 2% of earners in the world. Wow. Yeah. If you have an income of £25,000 a year or more, guess what? You're in the top 1% of earners in the world. We are mega, mega rich here, all of us. We are. We have so much, haven't we? But meanwhile, a billion people in the world today living in extreme poverty. Extreme poverty is classed by the World Bank as people living on $1.90 a day. Is that about £1.50 in today's terms? It's not a lot of money. This is the definition of extreme poverty. You know, not just statistics and definitions, but real people just like us, who live in the most awful circumstances and have absolutely nothing just because of where they happen to have been born. It's absolutely shocking. 400 million children living in extreme poverty, real children who, because of where they're born, are denied even the basics that we have here and the basics that we take for granted here. They'll be hungry most of the time. They'll suffer from poor health, little or no education. But above everything else, they've got no hope ever of escaping from the circumstances that they're born into. In fact, they've got no hope at all. How does that make you feel? Are we okay with this? Challenged. You know, it's absolutely shocking, isn't it? And we have to care. We have to care about this. We have to care about this as normal human beings, but especially as Christians, we have to care about this. I want to spend some time now just having a quick look at why the Bible says we have to care about these things. I'm not going to tell you anything that you don't already know here. The Bible is absolutely full of this stuff. So this is just a quick reminder, okay? First of all, we have to care about people in need in the world because of what we believe about God. God didn't intend an unjust world. He created a perfect world. Fairness, justice, hope, life in all its fullness for everybody, didn't he? We sang this morning about God's nature. Things we know about God. Above everything, he is good and he is just. Psalm 145 says that he's compassionate. He has compassion on all that he's made. His justice extends to all creation, and he will restore order and justice in the world. That is our God. Is that your God?
Yeah.
And we are his people. We have to care about people living in extreme need in the world because of what we believe about humanity, and that is that everyone is made in God's image. Yes? Yeah? So you, me, everyone else, made in God's image and precious to him. He loves us abundantly and wants good life for everybody. That means that our attitudes towards other people, especially people in need, reflect our attitudes towards God himself. And when we start to view other people, our neighbour, as made in God's image, it means that any kind of action that we take against poverty, against injustice, anything that we do to love our neighbour and show love to our neighbour takes on a whole new meaning, because it means that we're doing it for God himself. Yes? And of course, we're commanded to love our neighbour. Anybody remember what the two greatest commandments are according to Jesus? Yes, and love your neighbour as yourself. Yes, and Jesus also says that these two commandments sum up everything else in the whole of the Bible, basically. It's fundamental to who we are as Christians, not an optional extra for us. We have to love God and we have to love our neighbour. It's all about love. Famous verse in 1 Corinthians 13, you'll know it because you hear it at all the weddings that you go to, don't you? It says that without love, we're nothing. Without love, we're just like a clanging gong and a resounding cymbal. Without love, basically, we're just making a noise. And our neighbour is anyone. Anyone who's in need, anyone who's in need, and we're in a position to help them. And of course, when we show love to our neighbour, because they're made in God's image, we're showing love to God himself. And Jesus tells us the same thing, doesn't he, in Matthew 25? Do you remember the section where Jesus says, when you give food to the hungry, when you give water to the thirsty, when you clothe the naked, whatever you do for one of the least of these, you do for me. You do for me. How many of us want to draw closer to Jesus this morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we all do, don't we? I think there is no better way of drawing close to Jesus than to respond to the needs of the least of these. In that way, we meet with Jesus. We've been saying this morning, we want to meet with God, we want to meet with Jesus, we want to meet with the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me, for me. That has certainly been true in my experience, working with Compassion and working with some of the world's most needy children. We have to care about the needs of the world because we're disciples of Jesus. Are you a disciple of Jesus here this morning?
Yes.
Hey, Jesus came to show us God's love, to restore all of us back to him for eternity, to restore the world to how it's intended to be. Because of Jesus, if we accept what he's done for us, we're new creations. We have a new life, a whole new nature, God's nature, his heart in us. It's who we're meant to be, and it's how we're meant to be. Jesus came to bring in God's kingdom, to change the world with God's love, and he invites us, you and me, to follow him, to learn from him, to live and to love like he does. So, all good reasons to care about the needs of the world. Yes?
Yes.
Thank you, brother, for your enthusiastic responses. You know, God touches our hearts about the needs of the world because this is his heart and his nature and we're his children. But he doesn't touch our hearts about these things so that we'll feel sorry for people from a distance. He touches our hearts to motivate us to act, Anybody know what compassion means? Come on, anybody? Yeah, it's kind of showing concern for others. So it's basically feeling sympathy for somebody's need and somebody's predicament, but coupled with a strong desire to do something about it. So compassion basically means love in action. And Jesus himself is our prime example of that. Even the fact that Jesus came to earth and is still with us shows God's love in action, doesn't it? But so often you read in the Gospels that Jesus saw a need, he had compassion, but it didn't stop there, did it? In the Gospel stories that you read, he reaches out, he touches, he heals, he gets involved, not from a distance, being holy, he gets involved actively in people's stories and makes a difference. And do you know what? He calls us to do the same, to do what he does. Now, we can't change the world. As individuals, we can't change the world, but we can all do something. And Compassion, as an organization, makes it really easy for each of us to do something and really make a difference. Change the world one child at a time. And that's what we do. Compassion works through churches in some of the world's poorest countries. So it's not Compassion, the organization, doing the work on the ground. It's our brothers and sisters in Christ through churches in some of the world's poorest places. We're working in 25 countries at the moment. Up until January, February this year, we're also working in India. Unfortunately, you will know that there is big persecution of Christianity and churches in India at the moment. And because of those restrictions imposed by the fundamentalist Hindu governments that's in government in India at the moment, it meant that Compassion can't send funds through to the churches that are operating and helping children on the ground in India. So do pray for India. You know, really, really, really big issues going on there, and our brothers and sisters, you know, in serious need. But God is sovereign, yes? You know, God will overcome. We've sang it, Jesus overcame. And Jesus will overcome, and he is Lord in that place. And I believe that good will come out of that in India. Compassion works through churches in those countries, and through those churches on the ground, we enable our brothers and sisters, local Christians, to meet the needs of some of the poorest children in their communities, and basically give them hope for the future. They provide them with everything that they need to be released from poverty and have a life free of poverty, a life of hope. They'll be provided with education that they wouldn't otherwise get, supplementary food that they wouldn't otherwise have, access to healthcare and medicines and immunizations, skills to enable them to break the cycle of poverty, vocational skills, vocational training, a whole package of social and emotional care for these children. Above everything, they're taught the gospel. They learn their worth in Jesus. They're not forced to accept the gospel, but you know, many of them do because they experience the love of God in action. Last year alone, wait for this, I'm expecting a few hallelujahs, okay? Last year alone, more than 158,000 children became Christians through the work of Compassion. It works out about 400 a day.
Wow.
Is God working through this organization? He is. And you know, he's not working through this organization. He's working through the church. He's working through the church. It's you and me and our brothers and sisters in Christ and in different parts of the world. Anybody would think, wouldn't they, that this is how God intended it to be? And Compassion is just one organization that enables us to carry that out. The great thing about Compassion is that it's funded by people here, in churches here, sponsoring individual children. And all this that these children receive costs just £25 a month. Works out at just over £5 a week to change a child's life for eternity. It's not a huge amount of money, really, is it, when you think of all that we have. Because each child has one sponsor, you're not just giving money to charity, you're actually personally investing in the life of the child that you sponsor. So as a sponsor, you get to know the child that you're sponsoring, exchange letters with them, build a relationship with them. Those of you who are sponsoring children, do you write to your sponsored children? Yeah? You know, it enables us to write and say, I love you. You matter. Somebody cares about you. I care about you. Imagine being able to do that for a child who has nothing, and the difference that it makes in their lives. Your letters mean so much to the children that you sponsor. Poverty tells children you're hopeless, you're worthless, nobody cares, you'll never amount to anything, you're stuck there, In our letters, we can tell them otherwise. You know, and we can share the love of God, and we can share his hope with them. It's amazing, you know. And again, those of you who are sponsoring, does your heart not leap for joy when you see a photograph of your sponsored child and know that you are changing their life? Mine does when I see pictures of my sponsored children, you know. And of course we feel like that because this is God's heart. It's his heart. It's that that makes us leap for joy when we know that that's what we're doing in his name. It's the most amazing privilege, you know. For a long time, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. For a long time as a Christian, I couldn't have cared less about the needs of the world. I'd been a Christian at that stage, this about 10 years ago. I'd been a Christian at that stage maybe 15 years, going to church, doing all the right things, ticking all the right boxes, if you like. But I felt God challenging me, and I felt that what he was saying to me was, what are you actually doing? Specifically, what are you actually doing with your money? Which for me, as a good Yorkshire woman, made me feel quite uncomfortable. I ended up praying and asking God to give me a passion for something that he was passionate about. And, well, here we are today. The funny thing is, you know, I know that this is a God-given passion, my involvement with this ministry. First of all, because I asked God to give me that passion. And I believe he answers those sorts of prayers, don't you?
Yes.
And secondly, you know, I would have said up until that time that I can't stand children. So here we are. I started sponsoring this little girl called Mooka in Haiti. Very poor little girl, lives with her family in a very poor part of Haiti. As a small child, she used to help her mum trying to find work as a street vendor, selling things on the street. That would have been her job for life if it wasn't for compassion. Because of my support, she was able to go to school, and she's now training to be a nurse.
Wow.
And it provided me with a real link with a real child living in real poverty, and enabled me, a perfectly ordinary person, everyday person, to change her life. You know, and it feels amazing to be able to do that. Such a simple thing to do. But the point is that it changed my life too, completely changed how I see the world. And there's so many great things in the Bible about how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to behave. But how easy is it actually to apply those things? I found that through sponsoring this little girl, it made it easy for me to start applying those things. But because I'm actually doing it, it all starts to make sense. You know, all this great stuff that the Bible tells us. So I start to understand what it means to share my blessings. And so be abundantly blessed in return. I understand what it means to love my neighbor and so to love God. I understand what it means to store up my treasures in heaven where nobody can take that away from me. And just the most amazing thing. Got a little group of children here who are all waiting for sponsors. They're all desperately needy, all made in God's image, but because of where they happen to have been born, they simply don't have the good lives that he intended for all of us. And in any church that I've spoken at, and any groups of children that I've introduced, I've rarely seen such a sorry-looking group of children, desperately needed. They're all being helped by the same church in Rwanda. In this part of Rwanda, if you can see it there. So if any of you choose to sponsor a child today, then that means that you'll all be sponsoring children in the same place, being helped by the same church. And that's great, actually, because it provides a link between the individual person sponsoring and the individual child that they're sponsoring. But it also provides a link between you as a church here and their church there, all of you working hand in hand to meet the needs of these really, really poor children. And what a difference you can make together. It's the opportunity that you have this morning. Shall I introduce you to one of the children? Yeah? Okay, so this is Daniel. I've got his details here. You can see from his tummy that he doesn't get enough to eat. Poor little kid. Lives with his mother and father. They will work as subsistence farmers, trying to make, you know, a pound a day, if they're lucky. His favourite subject is music. Where he lives, houses are made of tin and corrugated iron with dirt floors. The regional diet where he lives consists of beans, cassava, which is a root vegetable, maize and potatoes. And that's what he'll get to eat. And if his parents can find work on a particular day, this little boy, he will get something to eat that day. If his parents can't find work on that particular day, very simply, he won't. Because, well, that's what it's like. If you choose to sponsor, each of you, if you choose to sponsor one of these children today, you will radically change their lives. Radically change their lives. It will radically change your life, you know. It's as simple as that, but it's so easy for us to change a life, and the blessings are absolutely huge. If it's something that you feel that you'd like to do, come and talk to me after the service. And as I say, you know, if God's touched your heart in any way about this morning, there is a reason for that. There's a reason for that. You know, don't walk out of this place without responding to God this morning, if that's something that he's touching your heart about. But, you know, that's the reason that we care, pretty much, and that's the reason that we do what we do through Compassion. Compassion is just one organisation that enables us personally to respond to the needs of the world. But it's such a tangible way that we can show God's love and his nature, and actually that we believe in him to the world. And we find that when we put it into practice, it actually works, because that's how it's meant to be. I'm just going to finish by showing you a video that shows the story of a young lady in Kenya, and tells you how her life was changed through her church with the support of Compassion and her sponsors. And you might want to get some tissues out as you watch this.
In the slum was very, very difficult for me, really living hard to mouth, because if my mom went to look for employment or even washed other people's clothes, if she came in the evening with a dollar, that's what we would use to buy a meal and eat at that particular time. If we wake up tomorrow, there's nothing to eat, then we'd take a glass of water and run to school. But Compassion opened a project at a church near our home. And for the first time as I entered, I saw hope. Compassion provided for everything. They gave me books. When I was sick, Compassion would pay for my medical care. And I'm most thankful to my sponsor, who was very, very encouraging. You know, just writing letters of encouragement, telling me that you can make it, you can do it. Your past should not determine your future. I believe my sponsors were God sent.
When we wrote to Jennifer, it was important to let her know that we really cared about her. I just said what a mother would say. You know, we're so proud of you. We're so proud that your great heart is good and that you've done such a good job.
I remember vividly our neighbor's child was raped. The child was 10 years. And these were the kind of things that I saw growing up that really made me decide to be a lawyer, someone who could speak for the rights of those who cannot speak for themselves. The beginning of this year, I joined the Kenya School of Law so that now I can be admitted into the bar and become an advocate in the High Court of Kenya. This summer, I went to the United States of America to be an advocate. I shared passionately about my story and how my sponsors had made a difference in my life, and they were brought on stage. It was life-changing just to see those two people who had sacrificed their resources, who used to pray for me, who used to encourage me. So for me to see these two people was just amazing.
Compassion gave us the opportunity to reach halfway around the world to rescue one girl from whatever the future might have had in store for her.
It makes me cry all the time when I think of how far God has brought me, you know, from the ditches of poverty to this.
You know, it's so easy to change a life, and you know, the impact of the decision that you make today will be absolutely huge on your life and on the life of the child that you choose to sponsor, if that's something that you want to do. But what she says at the end of that film there is, when she's on the stage, is she says, when I look at the photographs of the children at the compassion booth, that's the compassion stand if you like, you know, photographs of these children, she said, my heart is broken. Because 17 years ago, my face was in that packet. And, you know, we can't change the world, but we can change the world for one child and enable them to become everything that God intended them to be. And at the same time, it enables us to become everything He intends us to be. Thank you for your time. Amazing. God bless you.